Hey, this is Rich Wilkerson. I'm the pastor of VU Church in Miami, Florida, and this is our podcast. Thank you so much for checking it out today. I hope it encourages you and inspires you. Here's today's message.
Let me just see your hand if you are planning on, you have yet to plant a church. Let me see your hand. Come on, let's clap for these guys that are going to start a church. It's amazing. It's exciting. Raise your hand if you've planted a church in the last 2 to 3 years. Let me just see your hand. Okay, so you're going to understand all my confessions. This is really exciting, and I'm very honored to share with all the church planters. And if you're involved in the team, or you are yourself, you and your wife, or you and your husband planting a church, we're just so thankful. We're so grateful for you accepting the call of God on your life and the dream that God has for your region and your area. And I can tell you from experience that it is quite unbelievable to see how committed Jesus is to build his church. And when you plant a church, one of the things that will become very obvious is this is so much more God than I ever thought. And so my confessions to you aren't going to be about what you need to do. It's going to be about more how awesome God is. So I'm really excited for you. Why don't we just clap one more time for all the church planters in the house? So exciting. A little bit about our story. I first had a dream to plant a church in the month of March. I think it was in 2014, if I'm not mistaken. And I felt like I went to LA right out of high school and lived in LA for 6 years. And when I got my dream to plant a church, I felt like God was calling me back to Los Angeles. So I got really excited. And this was when the original iPad came out. Remember when they were like the VCR size? I had one of those big old iPads, and Carl Lentz was preaching, and I sat down in my chair, and I just started to type out with my finger as fast as I could, because you couldn't hold it. It wasn't that small back then. And I started to type out the church that God wanted us to build. And it would be maybe about a month later, 3 weeks later, that our daughter would be diagnosed with a rare brain condition. And so our dream got put on pause right there. And so it's amazing, and many church planters here, you've gone through that process where you thought you were going to plant probably in a different timeline, but God's ultimate will unfold. And so we went and spent 2 years with Pastor Judah, and he was kind enough to, in that season, pay us a salary to sit. You know you got a good friend when someone's going to give you money just to be around. That's a great friendship. So we got paid 2 years just to kind of sit and hang out. And then after that, we felt like we received the green light to go to L.A. to plant our church. So we moved to L.A. We spent 1 year just kind of prepping, 1 year getting everything ready. In fact, when we first moved to L.A., for the first 2 or 3 months, we didn't do anything with church. We just kind of set up our family and our life and our house and our kids. And then we started having meetings in our house. We just started inviting some people to have meetings in our house. And we met every Tuesday night. And it grew from 11 people was the first group we had. And it grew quickly. And then it got cut at 82. 82 was the limit. And it wasn't about the amount of people, to be honest. It was just that one night on a Tuesday night, I looked out and I was like, that guy should never be in my house. That's scary that he's here. And I was like, looking for the security team. Oh, wait, we don't have a security team. We're planting a church. And so that's the next week we met somewhere else on a Tuesday night. So we met for 9 months every Tuesday night and got ready. And then, as I said yesterday, we planted our church on August 23rd, 3 years ago. And it has been an unbelievable thrill ride. In the 3 years of our church's existence, we've seen almost 7,000 people say yes to Jesus in 3 years. So it's a pretty remarkable thing to see God move. And so planting a church is so much fun. It is so thrilling. And so all my confessions are going to be positive, mainly just because I hate negative. Is that okay? So these are my 5 confessions, and then I'm going to read a scripture to you. Confessions of a church planter. Here's the first confession I have for you today. Number one, it's so much easier than I thought. Again, I hate negative, so I'm going to be very positive. You need a lot of positivity to plant a church. But to be honest, it's so much easier than I thought. And the reason why I say that is because I really can't believe how things just start lining up. And sure, you're going to have obstacles. Sure, you're going to have some resistance. Sure, you got to work really hard and have a lot of coffees. But it's much more easier. In fact, one of the prophetic words that we got spoken over our lives before we moved from Seattle to LA was from Judah's mom. And Judah's mom prophesied over our lives and over our church, this is going to be easy. And I was like, that is a word from God. Yes, I receive this. You are not a false prophet. You are a true prophet. You do hear from the Holy Spirit. But if I can just prophesy over your church plant, it's going to be easy. And it's going to be easy because it's going to be Jesus. Remember, Jesus said this, I will build my church. So who's building it? Jesus is. Whose is it? It's his church. So as hard as you work, you're not working harder than Jesus. As much as you build, you're not building more than Jesus. It's easy because Jesus is in it. This is his commitment. The local church is the hope of the world. And I didn't anticipate. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I've been around church my whole life. And I've heard so many church plant stories of like, it was so hard. And we got our trailer stolen. And then the devil was in the team. And they split the team. And then we lost our finances. And then our pets' heads fell off. And just, and I'm just like, I don't know. I think when Jesus is in it, you've got the wind of heaven at your back. Just want to encourage you as a leader, never be involved with anything where you don't feel the wind of heaven at your back. When you're walking in your grace zone and when you're doing what God's called you to do, you're going to sense an ease to it. You're going to sense a natural grace to it. You can sense that it's God because when you do it, you're like, this feels right. This is working. This is God. There's a grace here. And when Jesus is in it, you're going to have to work long hours. You're going to have a lot of coffees. You're going to have to put in the time. You're going to have to go. I remember going to buy all of the sound equipment and taking our guys around. And I remember helping get our trailer. And I remember having to set up payroll. And I remember doing all the church plant stuff. But I never looked at it as like hard. I always looked at it as going like, this is a privilege. This is an honor. It is an honor to build the house of God. So I want to tell you, number one, it's much easier than I thought. Write this down as a subpoint. Grace grows the church. We get a text after every service at our church, and it gives us a rundown of how the service went. And it shows us kids, and it shows us how many cars parked, and it shows how many salvations were in the service, and how much money came in the service, and how much attendance was in the service. And the title of that group text, I like a good title to the group text. That's the only way you're going to get me to respond to a group text if it's titled. And the title of our group text that we get after every service is called Grace Grows the Church. Because I want to always be reminded, I'm not growing this. Jesus is growing this. And so it's easy because it's Jesus. Write down the second confession. The miracles are going to amaze you. The miracles are going to amaze you. You are going to be amazed by the miracles that are about to transpire. It's just, life is that thing that once you move, God moves. Once you take that faith step, all of a sudden now God can move. A lot of times God can't move simply because he's waiting for your obedience. But now that you've said yes to plant a church and you've said yes to step out in faith, now that you've listened to Hillsong's Ocean Song and you are walking on water, now that you are on the water, don't be afraid of the wind or the waves. Keep your eyes on Jesus and watch the miracles pour in. You're going to see financial miracles. You're going to see miracles of locations. You're going to see miracles of lives being changed. Like, our whole church was planted off a message by Jensen Franklin. And remember, my dream was shattered because I had to wait for 2 years. And we were waiting to see when I could go, when could my wife and I go plant this church. And we really got the green light in El Paso, Texas, while Pastor Jensen Franklin was preaching. Anybody love Pastor Jensen? Pastor Jensen, who is the George Clooney of Christianity, has the greatest Southern accent ever. A lot of times people are like, where did you get your accent from? And I'm like, I blame Jensen Franklin. I've always wanted to preach like Jensen. And so Jensen was preaching this message called Plop. It's an unbelievable message. And in the message, he talked about how in the middle of the outback of Australia, all of a sudden, it started to rain fish. In the middle of the outback of Australia, in the middle of nowhere, all of a sudden, it started raining fish. And he tells this story where there was a tsunami and all these fish were sucked up in the air, like in Asia. And by the time it ended, it dropped all the fish off in the outback of Australia. And he preached a message called Plop. And he said, I don't care where you live. I don't care how big your city is. When God wants to bless you, you're going to receive a plop. And he talked about three plops. He said, there's going to be a plop of miracles, a plop of resources, and a plop of salvations. Come on, church planner. You ought to expect those three plops to happen in your city, in your church, and in your region. Come on, does anybody have faith? That doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter your last name, you don't need a church pedigree. If God wants to bless you, he'll make it rain. All of a sudden, miracles. And I'm telling you, from the moment we stepped out to plant a church, all we experienced was plop. Like, checks started coming in from, like, people I never even talked to. People I never had a conversation from. I'll never forget, you know, when you start a church, your home address is the church address. So you have to sift through your own personal mail and the church mail. And so, in fact, I'll never forget one of our first Sundays, I forgot to take off our home address from the church website. And so people started to show up at our house for church on Sunday morning. And so, but we had it on our website because we needed the checks to come in. And I'll never forget when a check from Joyce Meyer showed up at my doorstep for an absurd amount of money. I'll never forget when a check from Joel Osteen showed up at my house for an absurd, I'll never forget when a check from Stephen, I never talked to Pastor Joel. I never told Joyce Meyer. I never had a conversation. And from time and time again, miracle resource, miracle money started to show up. And it only happened because we moved. God started to talk to people. God started to put it on their heart. You're going to experience miracle after miracle. Like, that's all you're going to experience. If I were you and you're starting a church, you should just get ready. What miracle am I going to see this week? What door? What relationship? All of a sudden, you start meeting people. You start having relationship with people. I just think God's looking for people that are willing to do the ridiculous so they can see the miraculous. Planting a church is a ridiculous thing. You got no money. You don't even have a team. We're not even that good at what we do, but we're stepping out in faith with a dream, with a call. And God said, you walk on water like that and trust me, and I'll bring a miracle your way. I'll plop the miracle, I'll plop the resource, and I'll plop the salvations. It's amazing some of the people that you're going to see come to find Jesus in your church, they would have never come to find faith unless you started this church. They would have never come to know the good news and the gospel of Jesus had you stepped out and planted this church. People's lives, people's legacies, people's children are going to get changed because of your yes, because of your obedience. And you ought to just get excited and say, what miracle are we going to experience? It's not limited to the miracle of money. It is greater. It is going to be the miracle of salvation. Come on, put your hands together and thank God in advance. I got to confess, get ready for the miracle. In fact, write this down as a sub point. He's more committed to building this than you are. You're going to see it. The miracles only happen because God takes our weakness and he shows off in his strength. God takes our obedience and he breathes on it to do a God-sized work just using your simple obedience. Number three, here's the third act or the third confession that I want to tell you. Just wait to see who he sends you. Just wait to see who he sends you. The greatest resource in church planning is not money. Someone could buy you a truck, a trailer, or all your kids' equipment. That is not the greatest blessing. The greatest blessing that you're going to experience is the people that he sends your way. God's about to send people that love you, that are for you, that believe in your dream, that believe in your call. The greatest resource in all of life is relationship. And God's about to hook you up with relationships you never imagined. You never thought God would send people to hold up your arms. You never thought God would send people to watch your kids. You never thought God would send people to lead worship for your church. You never thought God would send somebody to help run the church for you. But God's about to tug on hearts. God's about to wake people up in the middle of the night. God's about to talk to somebody in a church service and put you on their heart. Come on, is anybody thankful that God's sending people your way? Come on, get faith for it right now. You got to get some expectation. He's sending people your way. Never forget when we started our church, I felt like a little bit of wisdom, a lot of bit of God. A little bit of wisdom because I had heard that if, you know, I was a youth pastor for 15 years. And so they say that if you take your youth team to go plant a church, they'll turn on you because they knew you in one season and knew you in one context, and it's hard for them to make the jump and the adjustment in the new context. They often say that if you take your youth team to start a church, it's like taking a youth team on a mission trip. All the devils come out. And so I had heard that before. And above that, the wisdom, I heard God say, you don't get to do any of the recruiting. Let me recruit your team. Because if you recruit people to come to LA from Seattle, you'll be responsible for them. You'll have to clothe them. You'll have to feed them. You'll have to entertain them. You'll have to take care of them. So you let me talk to people. So again, I told you I was at Pastor Judah's, but the church I was at before that, I was there for pretty much 10 years as the youth pastor. So I had a whole generation of kids that came up, and I also ran the interns. So I had a lot of loyalty because we invested our lives into youth. And so when I went up to Judah's church for 2 years, I really remember the way you leave something determines the way you start something. So I knew I had to leave really well from this church to get to Judah's, but not just was I concerned about Judah's, I knew something bigger was in my heart and on my life. So I really had a lot of integrity and was very careful when I was at Judah's church. After 2 years, when Pastor Jensen preached the message and I felt like I got the green light, I called my old senior pastor on the phone and I said, hey, I want you to be the first to hear from me. Julia and I feel the green light, because he knew what was in our heart before. Julia and I felt like we got the green light and we're called by God to go to LA to start this church. And he said, oh man, that's exciting. That's awesome. He really championed us. And I said, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. I respect you way too much. And I loved my 10 years at your church. I want to vow to you a promise. I will not speak to any person at your church or on your staff about what we're about to do. I will not recruit any person in your church or on your staff to come with us. So I just want you to know this from me and hear this from me. I'm not talking to anybody. I really felt very serious about this. So I made that phone call. We hung up the phone. We announced on Instagram, we're going to go start a church. Some people text some congratulations. But would you believe that once we started in motion, because remember, God can't move until you move. Once we started in motion and moved to LA, 12 staff members at our old church resigned their positions and moved down to Los Angeles to help build this church. Because he's about to send you people. And he's going to send you people you never thought would come. He'll talk to people when you don't have to talk to them. God is more committed to building this than you are. So God is building your team above you. God is still talking to people about your church. We still have people. We just had a couple move and resign. There were the youth pastors at a church in Texas, and they just moved to Los Angeles last week, and they felt called by God to move to LA to help build our church. I'm still in the business of waiting on God and letting God recruit, because I know when he sends people, I don't have to clothe them, feed them, or entertain them. They are here on mandate from heaven, and they're being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody say amen. He's going to send you people. The question is not if God's going to send you people. The question is, if are you big enough and secure enough to handle the talent that comes your way? Are you big enough to make room at the table for someone to sit there that might not look like everybody, talk like everybody, or act like everybody? Remember, God's not going to send just you to the table. He's going to send someone with a different skill set. He might send someone with a different flavor. And the only test of them being allowed at the table is if they're willing to receive a heart transformation. Let me say it again. The only test is not how good they were at their old church. It's not the skill that brings the resource. The only test is, can they lean in and receive your DNA and your culture and have a heart transformation? If they can't receive a heart transformation, bless their old work and their old life and who they used to be, but don't make a seat for them at the table. Somebody say amen. God wants to send people to your team and send people to your church that are going to sit there and go, we feel called to this house and we want to receive the DNA and the culture and the mandate that is on this church. Somebody say amen. The fourth one, anybody being encouraged by this? The fourth one, write down number four. These are confessions of a church planner. Number four, I must confess, your systems are set up to deliver the results you're getting. Your systems are set up. Your systems are designed. Your systems are set up to deliver the results you're getting. So if you don't like the results at your church plant, all you are saying is you don't like the systems of your church plant. If you don't like the results on your team or your baptisms or salvations, it is not a dream or vision problem. It is not an anointing or faith problem. It is quite simply, practically a systems problem. Now, when we planted our church, we were unapologetic. We said we want to be like two other churches. Anybody like having church heroes, like churches you want to be like? Like, don't you think VU is the most creative church you've ever encountered? Come on, make some noise for VU and their creativity. Like, they're just the most creative church I've ever seen in my life. It's unbelievable. But when we started our church, we went with H's. We wanted to be like two churches in the world, Hillsong and Highlands. Hillsong for culture. Nobody builds culture better than Pastor Brian. And I love his voice, mate. You know, when he talks like this. Yeah, good on you. So I wanted to be like Hillsong because I love their culture. And I wanted to be like Highlands because I love Pastor Chris's systems. I got to confess that the hardest part of planting a church, in my opinion, was working the system. Cracking the culture code is one thing, but cracking your system code is a whole nother level. And you got to spend time developing the system. How do people become a volunteer at your church? How does one get elevated at your church? What does it look like for people to get into a connect group at your church? How does someone get baptized at your church? It is the system. I was really afraid when I started the church in this regard, that they say people that preach, and at the time of my life, I was traveling out of Judas Church and preaching. They say preachers build awful churches. And so not that I saw myself as a preacher, but I felt like I was being pegged as a preacher. And I heard someone say that and I was like, oh gosh, am I going to build a bad church? Like, is that going to be me? And so I really tried to focus a lot of my attention and my energy on really building the system, because I knew if I could build the system and the culture. I'm telling you, church planner, if you have the right culture and the right system, that combination, it will unleash the greatest church that you could ever dream of. You got to get your culture down and your system nailed down, and all of a sudden, I always think the test of a church planner is, would you come to this church? Like, I want to build a church where it's like, I like this so much, I would come here. And some of you are like, I would never attend my church. I'm only there because I have to be there. No, get your culture down and get your systems down, and all of a sudden, it's going to soar. It's going to take off. Again, God will send you resources. One of the greatest blessings we had at Zoe is right here in the front row, Josh Anderson, who, by the way, is getting ready this September. He's planting a church in Denver, Colorado. Make some noise. Come on, you're going to be louder than that, church planters. He's planting one. Come on. And God sent us, literally showed up at our doorstep, a blessing from God, Josh, who is a master at systems. It's not really my skill set. A lot of times God will send you your weakness. You got to recognize this is a blessing because I'm not that good at this. And I think God loves our church enough. He's so committed to building this thing that he sent us my weakness. Remember, to every leader, there is a dark side. And God's so good, he'll probably send what you're not that good at, not because it's pointed at you, it's because he just loves his house and he wants his house to be filled with resource. Remember, the greatest blessing that he sends you is not a check, it's a person. And God blessed us with Josh, who's a master of systems and helped tweak our systems and work our systems. Why? Because your systems are set up to deliver the results you're getting. If you've hit a lid and you're stuck, I'll bet you it's not faith. I'll bet you it's not giving. I'll bet you it's system. And you got the hardest part of church is just matching the system for the season you're in. What do we need to change about the system so we can raise the level of the lid and we can grow? Remember, church is just a dance. Church goes from plateau to grow, plateau to grow, plateau to grow. And every time you plateau, it is always a result of system. And so I want to confess to you, to me, in my opinion, the hardest part of planting a church, it was not the money, it was not the team, it was not the culture, it was the system. Get people around you that can help develop and work the strategy and the system because it's going to bless every person that comes to your church. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, you can clap for that. Here's the fifth and the last confession. These are my confessions. I feel like Usher right there. Okay, number five, the church is you. You are the church. The church is you. You are the church. I have to confess to you what you probably already know, but let me remind you, everything about your church is you. You are the church. It takes on your personality. It takes on your values. Remember, culture is not what we say. Culture is what we do. So you can sit at a Starbucks and come up with your 10 values for your church, but if you don't live out those values, those are just words on a wall. That is not the DNA of your house. You are the church. So if I were you, more than working on the church, I would work on you. Because if you want your church to pray, you've got to pray. If you want your church to be generous, it will never be more generous than you. If you want your church to have a bunch of faith and have the atmosphere of faith, well, then you better become a faith person. If you want people to be kind and loving and gracious, they will never be kind and loving and gracious unless you're kind and loving and gracious. Remember, as preachers and leaders and teachers, you teach what you know, you reproduce who you are. Your church is you. So if you're like, I don't like my church, what you're saying is, I don't like me because the church is you. And so you got to develop you. You've got to go under construction and really determine what are the things that are really me. What are the I want to encourage somebody. Don't put up on a wall something you're not. Don't say you value it if you don't value it. You know what your values are because it's you. It's how you live your life. It's how you see the world. And guess what? If God didn't want it to be that way, he wouldn't have called you. But there's something about you. There's something that's on you. There's something unique about the way you see church and the way you see the city that God wants you to build a house and build a church that has your culture and your vision and your values and your faith. So it's not a bad thing that the church is you. It's a good thing. So identify who you are. Identify what you do. So for me, in fact, I found this from Louis Giglio when we started our church. I'll never forget about 5-6 years into Passion City, Pastor Louis told me that for the first time after five or six years in, they had their volunteer conference. He finally put out their values. I said, wait a second. You're 5-6 years in and you're just now, like, did you not develop them earlier? Like, why 5-6 years in, you just now put out your values? He said, I knew for the first 5 or 6 years we were going to feel our way and land eventually on what really is this church about. He said, so I knew in year one, we probably don't know that all the way. Year two, we're still feeling our way into what is the mandate on this house. Year three, we're still under construction and developing our voice. Right now, we might be the echo of a Hillsong or a Highlands, but pretty soon we're going to be a megaphone of the mandate that's on our house. So I'm going to slowly back into what I know that I know that I know. For Zoe right now, we haven't released our values because I only know about four things that I know for sure. We're a faith church. We're a generous church. We're a kind church. And we're a coffee church. That's all I got. That's where we're at. Right? Because right now, that's where I'm at. That's who I am. And so you are the church. So if you know how to love people and make people feel welcome, your church will love people and make people feel welcome because they're you. It's amazing. Like, I was in Seattle and I watched the Mars Hill thing with Pastor Mark Driscoll, who I have such a tremendous respect for. I have such a tremendous respect for what he did and read the books. And I watched this whole thing happen where what ended up taking him down in Seattle wasn't necessarily things that he said from the pulpit. It was what he reproduced in his people. Because it's who he was at the time. It's not who he is now. It's not who he is in this season of his life. But it's who he was in that season of his life. You teach what you know. You reproduce who you are. Your church will be a reflection of your life. Your church will be a reflection of your vision and your values. So I say for us, let's go under construction. Let's let the Holy Spirit really do a mighty work in our life. Amen. I say all that to say to read a scripture to you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3:20, and I want this to be a verse for every church plant that is in this house. This is Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do. Anybody believe he's able to do it? Come on, anybody believe he's able to do it today? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think according to the power at work. Where is it working? Within us. Within us, to him be the glory in the church plant and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Come on, I'm telling you, church planter, he's going to do far more than you could ever ask. He's going to do far more than you could ever think. And I promise you, he's going to do more than you could ever imagine. I never imagined what's happening in our church. I didn't get this far in my dream. That little old school VCR iPad, I didn't type that stuff out with one finger. I never saw what we're doing right now. I never had a moment. It's bigger than I asked. It's bigger than I thought. And it's bigger than I imagined. All the praise be to God in the house. All the praise not be to the team or the staff or the preacher. All the praise be to God in the church. Come on, somebody praise him right now. It's his church. He's building it. He's committed to it. God's going to do it. So get ready. Because we planting churches. And I don't care if your city's small or big, in the Midwest, the Northeast, no matter where you're planting, it's the same gospel. Get up and preach about Jesus. And you're going to see lives changed. You might walk off the stage and go, that's the worst message I've ever preached. It was. God still used it. We'll never know how or why. We'll just know this is the way he's chosen to reach humanity. It's through churches. The local church is the hope of the world. And that's why he's using it. That's why he's building it. That's why your vision does matter. That's why your life does matter. So please, we only have one life. We only get to do this one time. Please do this to the best of your ability. Please live with an Ephesians 3:20 conviction. God's going to, just believe it. He's for me. He's not against me. God's going to do the big thing, the mighty thing, the God thing. It's going to plop. The miracle is going to plop. The resource is going to plop. The salvation is going to plop. Amen? Come on, lift a hand to heaven. Jesus, I thank you for every church that is here, every church planter that's in the house. And God, we confess it's going to be easier than we thought. God, we confess we're going to be amazed by who you send. God, we confess we are unbelievably blown away by your commitment to build your church. So right now, God, give us the systems we need. Give us the culture we need. Lord, do a mighty work in us because we know you've called us to build this house. So Lord, we thank you. Lord, all the praise, all the honor, all the glory be to you in the church. We love you more than anything else in Jesus' name. And we all said together, come on, let's give a resounding praise to Jesus today. Let's really thank God for his power and his might.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with friends. It helps so much. For more content from VU and to connect with us, go to VUchurch.com. We love you. The best is yet to come.